Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he'll be continuing with part one of Always Abounding in the Work of the Lord, as we turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 58, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Let's just catch ourselves up here. The verse reads, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So, therefore, since, in the context here, since there is a resurrection, since we will not all die, but we shall be changed, since this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality, since death is swallowed up in victory, inasmuch as having borne the image of the man of dust, we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. Since all of this is true, Paul says, therefore, let us be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Or another translation, always working enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain, or nothing you ever do for the Lord is useless. So this great exhortation coming at the end of this amazing presentation to us of the resurrection and what we have waiting for us in the future. So again, Paul is, as we pointed out before, he's always appealing to us on the basis of the great things God has done or the great things God is going to do. And so here we see that once again, because God has done this through Christ, because he's going to do this for us in the future, we are to just be steadfast and immovable. It reminds me of another passage in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, where we read this, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name." So again, sort of, you know, pointing to the fact that what we do for the Lord is not useless. It's not in vain. God takes note of it, and one day is going to acknowledge it. One day he's going to reward us actually for it. But as we look at this one verse, I want to talk about the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? Because that's what we are being told to be steadfast, immovable in, and to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. So what is the work of the Lord? Well, of course, we can do anything as unto the Lord, and thereby work for him, even in the mundane things of life. And that's an amazing thing, really, you know, to think of it. Whatever we do, we can do as unto the Lord. As a matter of fact, we are actually called to do that. In writing to the Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." So we can take anything that we are engaged in, any endeavor that we are involved in, and we can say, you know, I am going to do this as unto the Lord. We can do it as unto the Lord, and God takes notice of that. You know, when we're doing things that are sometimes unpleasant or difficult or things that, you know, we really don't want to do, what we sort of naturally quite often tend to do is grumble, right? and complain. Oh, gosh, what do I have to do this for? I hate doing this stuff. That's what I do. That's how I sound. Cheryl was asking me to do something the other day, and I was making those kinds of remarks. And I said, you know how I hate to do things that I really just shouldn't have to do? I hate to fix things that are broken. They shouldn't have broken in the first place, is my feeling about it. And now that they're broken, I got to stop and deal with it. Now, you know, I used to be a plumber. And my wife believes that because I used to be a plumber, that all of our plumbing in our house should be absolutely pristine. It should be perfect. We should not have any plumbing issues. But I always tell her, honey, I was a plumber so long ago. And I didn't want to be a plumber anymore. And I don't want to be one now. That's why the faucet leaks. So we have this ongoing issue. Cheryl wants me to be a plumber. I want to be a pastor. And so thank God for William, who's on staff here, who was a plumber more recently than I was. And I can say, William, can you come over and just check out this thing? My wife is driving me crazy. I go in the bathroom, and I go to turn on the faucet, and there's no water comes out. Why? Because it drips, and somehow my wife can hear it from miles away. So she goes under the sink and turns the water off. And I just think, what? Leave the water on. Who cares if it drips? I mean, come on, really? Does that really matter? But for her, it does. I'm getting myself in so much trouble right here publicly tonight. So see, I'm preaching to myself. I need to do these plumbing things as unto the Lord, instead of complaining about them all the time. So you can take things like that you don't really like to do, and you can turn it around and say, God, I'm going to do this for you. And of course, I want to do it for Cheryl too, because I love her. But you know, seriously, anything that we're doing, we can do as unto the Lord. So that's, of course, there. But Paul is talking here about something that I think is more specific than that. Although, not to dismiss that at all, not to say that we shouldn't do that. Of course we should. Whatever we should do with all of our hearts as unto the Lord, not to men. But here when he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, I think he's talking about something more specifically. And the way I would define that is he's talking about those things that directly pertain to the advancement of God's kingdom. He's talking about that kind of work, the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. And so this is the primary application. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always abounding in those things that advance the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? What are we talking about when we're talking about advancing the kingdom of God? Well, we're talking about Christ's reign in people's lives. Really, that's what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is the reign of Christ over humanity, over people. And of course, eventually, Christ is going to reign over the entire earth. But now, presently, Christ is reigning over those that invite him to be their Lord, those who invite him to be their King and their Savior. And so the work of the Lord in this context here are those things that pertain to assisting those over whom Christ reigns, and of course would also be referring to bringing people under the reign and the authority of Christ. So, how do we do this work of the Lord? Well, what takes place in what we're talking about here? Well, of course, evangelism would be the work of the Lord. So, evangelism is the spreading of the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel, and as people hear the gospel, then they respond to the gospel and they come under the authority of Christ, and the kingdom of God is established in their lives. So this is what we are to be abounding in. We're to be abounding in evangelism. We're to be abounding in gospel proclamation. Now, evangelism is, of course, gospel proclamation. You can't evangelize somebody without telling them the evangel, the news, the good news of Christ. But there are many other things, there are other components that work together with that proclamation that give all of us opportunities to engage in the work of the Lord. You see, because although the kingdom of God can only be advanced as people hear the gospel and respond to it, there are many different ways that we can go about getting the gospel to people, or paving the way for the gospel to get to people, or breaking down barriers that prevent people from maybe wanting to hear the gospel. So when it comes to evangelism, this is my point, when it comes to evangelism and doing the work of the Lord in evangelism, it's not only the proclamation of the gospel, but it can be a number of other things that enhance the opportunities for the gospel to go out. And this is where the combination of love and good works comes into the picture. You see, in some places, before you can get people to really listen to the gospel, you have to approach them with love, or you have to come with good works, the works that accompany salvation. And you come into a community, or you come into a culture or a society, and you come there with those deeds of righteousness. And you come in and you bless people. You might come in with, just say, for example, as a missionary, coming into maybe a third world situation. So you come in, your objective is to get the gospel to them, your objective is to advance the kingdom of God, to bring them under the reign of Christ, but maybe you go about that through, say, building a medical facility. And through that medical facility, you're working to break down barriers and to open doors and to give an opportunity for the gospel to go forth. So this is my point. The people who contribute to building the medical facility, the people who construct it, and the people who serve at it are all taking part in the work of the Lord. The final objective is to bring people under the reign of Christ, but these things are part of it. They're making a contribution. You see, sometimes I think we mistakenly limit serving the Lord to just the proclamation part of it. But like Paul says in Romans chapter 10, people can't believe in somebody they haven't heard of, and they're not going to hear about the Lord unless they're sent. And in order to be sent, there have to be senders. So we're most of the time thinking about the one who's going to go open their mouth and make the proclamation. And of course, that, you know, is vitally important to the process. But in order for them to get there and do that, there has to be other people involved in the work of the Lord of a slightly different kind to help them get to that place. You know, I think of some of the ministries that we have been connected with over in Africa, for example. Dr. Juventine, who's been here with us on occasion to share with us. And maybe some of you remember when Dr. Juventine was here, the story there is here he is as a Christian, as a man who wants to advance the kingdom. He wants to see people come under the reign of Christ. God calls him to this Muslim village. And, of course, going in just as a preacher, or going in just to say, here, I'm here to evangelize you. I'm here to lead you to Jesus Christ instead of following Allah. There probably wouldn't be too many opportunities for him to engage in that kind of evangelistic endeavor. But because he's a medical doctor, The people need medical attention. They need a clinic in their community. So he goes in with the support of many people from this country here and other places, and they go in and they build a clinic, and he starts ministering to people on the physical level as a doctor. And through a process of time, building relationships with them, he begins to share the gospel with them. And pretty soon, he doesn't only have a medical clinic, but he's got a church. And he's got a number of formerly Muslim people now who have become followers of Christ. But you see, again, he couldn't do that strictly on his own. And just, you know, his proclamation, although that's vital to the ultimate, you know, outcome of the process, there are other factors there that all work together. That's what I'm really wanting to emphasize here. Because what that tells us is that we can all have a part. We can all play a part. Look, you know, we've got lots of missionaries on the field. When you give to the ministry, you're helping that mission. When you pray for those missionaries, you're helping the work that's going on there. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. That's the work of the Lord. When you go off to work and work hard and get a paycheck and then come and say, oh, I'm going to put this much money in the offering, you are serving the Lord. You are doing the work of God. You're helping to advance the kingdom because that's where those resources are being directed. So that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about evangelism. We're talking about gospel proclamation. But we're also talking about the love and the good works that oftentimes are part of this bigger picture and that will help move things in that direction. And so, advancing the kingdom of God, the reign of Christ in the lives of people. The other aspect of that would be discipleship. Discipleship. Now, we know that leading people to Christ is really the first step, in a sense. Of course, when somebody comes to Christ, they're saved. But Jesus isn't simply wanting people to be saved only, right? He's wanting them to become disciples. He's wanting them to grow in their faith. He's wanting them to become mature. He's wanting them to become themselves reproductive. A disciple is to eventually and ultimately become a disciple maker. And so in this whole big picture of advancing the kingdom of God and extending the reign of Christ in people's lives, this is where discipleship is so important. And, of course, in discipleship, what are we doing? We are bringing people to a greater knowledge of the truth, because we know that it's through knowing the truth that we are set free. So we're bringing people to a greater knowledge of the truth, which is then resulting in a personal transformation in their lives and a righteousness that is pleasing to God begins to develop in their life experience. And then also, as a result of that, a passion for serving God arises as well. But again, discipleship is a process that involves a lot of different people. You know, never take lightly any kind of ministry to people. Now, children's ministry is a good case in point. You know, some people think, oh, children's ministry, you know, that's for kids. I want to be in the big leagues. I want to be where the grown-ups are. But, you know, children's ministry is one of the most important ministries in any church. People have asked me quite often, hey, we're going to go out and plant a church, and we're looking to put a team together, and, you know, what would you suggest? And, you know, usually it's the person who's going to lead the team and the person who's going to be the pastor of the church. So here I am. I'm going to go pastor this church. I want to do a church plant in a certain place, and I want to get a team together. What would you say would then be the next important, most important person? We need a worship leader. We need an evangelist. We know, you know, what do we need? I tell them all the time, you know what you need? You need a children's ministry person. You need to have somebody there that has a heart for kids, that's going to reach kids. Because, of course, if families are going to come to a church, they're going to come with kids, and they're going to want their kids to be ministered to, right? But not only that, the fact is, children are the future, adults. And the devil is working overtime to try to undermine the work of God in the lives of everybody, especially children. And we have an amazing responsibility and privilege to counteract the work of the enemy and to invest in the lives of children, young people. Children's ministry is, it's an amazing opportunity. It's an amazing opportunity to do the work of the Lord, investing in the lives of children. So again, what I want to emphasize here is just the different ways that we can do the work of the Lord, that we can abound in the work of the Lord. So again, not everybody has a gift to teach. Not everybody has that, you know, type of a thing where they go in and give that personal instruction. Not everybody is able to do that. Not everybody's called to do that. But again, those who are called to do that, they need a support system around that, them to be able to do that. And, you know, so here's what I'm trying to say. Anything that you do that is making any kind of a contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom, to the reign of Christ over the lives of people, anything you do, that's the work of the Lord. And that's the thing that Paul says, that we are to be steadfast, we are to be immovable, and we are to be working enthusiastically toward those things. Just excited about it and passionate for it. And man, you know, committed to it, and I'm going to do this, whatever my part is. Now, discovering just exactly what your particular part is, that takes some time, and that takes a lot of prayer, and, you know, just stepping out in faith and seeing where you fit in and, you know, how God wants to use you. But once you start to get the feel for what God is calling you to do. And you know, sometimes he has us do something for a season, and then he has us move on and do something else, and he has us move on and do something else. Some people are like that. Other people tend to just sort of, you know, come into one particular area, and this is the thing that they primarily do. That's fine too. There's no one way that it works for everybody. It's not the same kind of a thing. But the important thing is for us to discover, where's my part? What's my contribution to this bigger picture of advancing the kingdom of God? What's my role in increasing the reign of Christ in the lives of people? So whatever it is, whatever God's gifted you to do, you take that thing and you directed in some way toward the advancement of the kingdom, and you do that with all your heart, and know this, that labor is not in vain. It's not in vain. God is taking note of it. You can't do anything for the Lord that in the end would be deemed as a waste of time. You can do plenty of other things that in the end will be deemed a waste of time. And that's actually what most people are doing, isn't it? Most people are spending all their energy and they're putting all their efforts and all their resources and everything else into things that in the end will not really matter. But as somebody has said, and as we've heard it quoted many times, there's only one life, it'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And you know, that's really true. It's not a trite cliche, it's really a reality. So, of course, we do a bunch of things. Okay, let's do those things that we do as unto the Lord. But let's make sure that we're also intentionally putting ourselves in a place to do the work of the Lord, to advance his kingdom, to further his reign over the lives of people, to do my part in whatever I'm gifted in.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson, and we do hope you make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, Always Abounding in the Work of the Lord, or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0227. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBrodersen and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBrodersen. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archive messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.